someone else real quick before we get into the scripture tonight. All right, if you'd like to read with us in 1 Timothy, we're going to start with in the 4th chapter. And listen close to what this scripture says. Start in the first verse. Now, the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter time some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies in hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron. Now, that's exactly where we're at today. People does not want to hear what the Bible really says. They want a form of godliness, but they don't want to hear and know what God's really requiring. And they've had their conscience seared with a hot iron, to where nothing seems to penetrate them. They have no feeling, even a message sometimes that goes out being preached in the Spirit, and it's just like water off a duck's back. It don't penetrate at all, because they've had their conscience seared, and they no longer let it reach in to where it's going to affect the decisions they make. Why? I know what I want. I know what's best for me, and I'm going to do what I want, and nobody's going to tell me any different, because I'm a grown-up. And I answer only to myself. But they're going to find out when this life is over how wrong a person can be. Because we got one. He knows all about us. He knows every thought that we've had. He knows every word we've spoken. And we're going to give an account of it. And God has told us that. And we're just being foolish if we don't recognize that you and I, no matter what this world says, God's Word is the author and of what's right and wrong. And when it comes to judgment, He's the finisher of it. It's not that I please the Supreme Court, the governor, the president, or anybody else. I better be striving to please God. I can make all of this America unhappy with me and the decisions I make. But if God looks down and He's satisfied, I've won. I'm in the majority. Because me and God, it makes up the majority. And it's time for us to realize, as long as we're standing on the Word of God, we're speaking exactly what God's Word said. No matter who comes against them, they're not going to win. They might think they won a victory here, but when it comes down to the end of this life, I was talking to a lady. I went to Walmart this week to get some black ink for Michelle to use. Because she had printed out the flyers. She didn't have black ink, so that's why they're in green. But I got her some black ink, and the lady that was, they have to unlock a cabinet to get that out for you. And me and her got to talking. And she's not even an American nationality. She had a little bit of an accent from some other country. But the lady sounded like she knew what was right and what was wrong. And we was talking there about the decisions people's making and the choices. And I told her, I said, yeah, I've talked to politicians and told them they were going to be held responsible for the vote that they cast in Washington. Because the thing that they helped to legalize, God's holding them responsible. And it's time for us to realize today, everything we do, whether we stand for that thing right, or we just keep our mouth shut, and don't speak out against that thing wrong, God's looking at us and each other. Look back at the disciples. They asked those that was in authority, judge yourself. Which is more important for me to abide by what you say or what God tells us? You and I today, that same thing should be judging our lives. What's more important, what God's required of me or what some man is required, and we may have to pay the price. But when this life is over, we can be just as Paul. You know, Paul knew what was waiting him. They might have thought when they cut their head off, we finally shut him up. His word is still screaming out loud and clear today for what Paul stood for and the testimony he left, that not only what was waiting for him, but it's waiting for me and you. If we'll be faithful in the things of God, we don't know exactly. I've stopped and tried to think ahead what the Bible speaks about, what Christ looked like there when John was seeing him in Revelation. But I believe John's word, they were failing him to describe just how real it was. He was telling about the most important and the beautiful thing in the world. Oh, if they showed above the brightness of the sun, well, one of these days I'm going to get to see for myself. And I'll walk up to John. Tell God, oh, John, you didn't tell it all. There was no way you could explain what you were seeing any better than what you did. But it didn't touch it. You and I today, God said it, sir, for us, me and you, one on earth, did I do to deserve that, to be able to go where God is. And I look at my life, and all I can say is just like that song, I'm blessed above measure. Nothing I deserve. God has already blessed me far more than I deserve. You and I, we might have loved ones that's turned their back and walked away. And it breaks our heart. But there's coming a time, if they don't change your mind, I believe when we walk in and Christ wipes the tears from our eyes, it'll be as if they never existed. Because the Spirit of God will be so strong in heaven, we will never think of those that didn't make it. Our family's going to be complete, the family of God. Those in hell for all of eternity will remember the opportunities that you give them, I give them, and the Lord give them to change. For all of eternity, that's going to be going through their mind, how close they were unto life, and they walked away from it. You and I today, our life is passing by so quickly. And this scripture we just read to you, listen to that again. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter time some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. You know, we're living in a day and a time where man, they don't want to believe that God's word is the final authority. I give it to people, highly educated people. Give it to them. And you know what their answer is? That's your opinion. I said, no, it's God's opinion. Read it. That's your opinion. They can read God's word and it's my opinion or it's their opinion whether they want to accept it or not. Honey, that don't matter a bit. God don't say, this is what's going to happen if you will accept it. He tells you and I, this is what's going to happen whether you accept it or not. And when we come and stand before God, there is going to be no excuse made. If we don't have the blood of Jesus Christ, there is nothing we can defend ourselves with. But if we've been born again, we don't have to defend ourselves. Christ will. Father, this one's mine. You and I, it's not something we deserve, but it's a gift from God. And if you don't accept that gift, it's your fault. God brought it from heaven and reached it out to you, even to knock upon your heart. And each and every one of us here, I don't care how long you've been a Christian, there are things that you will do that God will chastise you for. And you either repent of them and straighten it out, or you're going to stand before God and face Him for it. And if God reveals something to you that you've done wrong, you know, if there's something in my life that God's dealing with me about that maybe is a private warfare, I do not have to confess that to anybody else and tell them what it is. But I can pray to God and be forgiven of it. But if I do something openly that everybody knows, then I need to repent openly. Because if you don't, how's that other person going to know you straightened it out with God? You might want to do it privately and get it right with God, between you and God. But then when you do, then you need to openly confess what you did wrong and that God forgive you. And it will be a blessing unto you and to all that hear. But if you don't, you know, I've seen this happen in a church, first church ever pastored. A man that was caught doing something that he had been lying about, saying that he wasn't doing. And when his son went missing in Vietnam, he really got seriously drunk. So much so that his ulcers went to bleeding and he was put in the hospital. And the doctor said, one more time like that and you're gone. I will not be able to stop it. He just almost bled to death internally from the ulcers. And I told the deacon that picked him up and always brought him to church that I'd mentioned to him before that I thought I could smell alcohol on him. And that deacon got all mad with me and said, that's his asthma medicine. Well, when he come to church that Sunday morning and I said, ask him where the man was, he said, well, he got notice yesterday that his boy was missing in Vietnam. And he went out and got drunk last night, and he's in the hospital. His ulcers was bleeding. I said, I told you he's been drinking. And I said, he's got 30 days to get in here and get himself right with God, or he's being turned out. Well, he came the next weekend and come to the altar and prayed through. You could feel it. I mean, it was all over that church. And he got up, and when he started to testify, you could feel the Spirit was there, and then he went to defending himself. He said, some have been accusing me of drinking for a long time, and I haven't been drinking. And you could feel it just like you dumped a bucket of ice water on that. I told my uncle, I said, God forgive him. And he took his sin right back on him. I said, as far as I'm concerned, he's out. You realize my uncle, I don't know how much older than me Bob was. Bob quit the church because I wanted to turn that man out. And he's never went back anymore. He's old now, blind. You go and talk to him, he has cuss words, and he'll tell you, I'm closer to God today than I've ever been. That's what's scary. That means he never was close to God. You can't be right with God and filth come out of your mouth. You can't stand for that that's wrong and say that you're fighting the things for God. You and I today, we need to come back, face the truth. You know, it's a bad truth is what's going to hurt you. The lies won't hurt. It's the bad truth. And believe you me, the truth is going to come forth and show itself. You and I today. Why not? Hell is so real. Why can't we see? It's just as real as heaven is. And those that don't go to heaven, they're going to hell. And they go to heaven. You must be pleasing unto God. You must keep your sin beneath the blood. And when you see, he said, for us to come and have a heaven. Get on our knees and pray. Talk to God and be forgiven. Or we're going to face it when this life is over. We got a revival coming up next week. Each and every one of us. I hope and pray that you're doing some true examining of your heart so that there won't be nothing that would hinder you from really sitting underneath the fountain of God and being blessed. And the Sunday after the revival, we're going to have a foot washing in communion, because Laura's been sick and her girls was going to be in the first one. And she didn't ask me to postpone it, but I know if I was in her place, I would have sure wanted it if I couldn't be here to be in my child's first foot washing. So each and every one of us, we've got basically 2 weeks of revival, and this Sunday service and tonight here, for each and every one of us to get to the place where God says in His Word, if we take the communion unworthily, we eat and drink damnation to our soul. That means if we are not totally forgiven of everything we've done wrong, we got a fault or a problem with somebody else, we need to do what we can to get that straightened out. So that when we take the communion and the foot washing in the eyes of God, we're holy enough to do it. I've never felt worthy of it. But if there's no sin between me and God, God says I am. And, you know, there might be somebody here that you're not in the place you were to be. Somebody else that's a Christian and where they should be might know it. But you're not wrong if you wash that person's feet. Because look at the Bible. Jesus washed Judas' feet. You might wash somebody that's not pure and holy. That's on them. That's not on you. You and I, we're doing it as we're doing it unto Christ Himself. And if it ends up that you're washing the devil's feet, God's not holding it against you. He's holding it against them. And He knows what's in your heart. And you and I today, this is serious. We've played church long enough. We need to get down to business. Do you realize, Michelle mentioned it, I think Daryl's been seeing some of it. Toward the end of this next month, for the first time in centuries, it looks like Israel's going to be given a sacrifice, a red heifer. The Bible speaks about when the sacrifices start again. It's just a very short time to the end. You and I, we better wake up. This may be the last revival that this church will ever have. You got lost people? Make sure you call. If they say no, call them again. You know, I've got 150 numbers blocked on my phone. And yet, I'm still getting calls. I can't block no more. I'm still getting calls sometimes 2 and 3 times a day for insurance, for Medicare insurance. They won't take no for an answer. So if you're lost people telling you no, be as bad as them insurance people. Don't take no for an answer. Keep pestering them. After a while, you know, there's a song that somebody's trying their best to learn. I forget exactly how it goes. In other words, you go to a church for one reason, but God got a hold of you. They may come for no other. Do you realize Delmer Parsons, a wall in a house that he was helping Dad tear down, that a man had give Dad the materials and stuff if they'd tear it down. And Delmer Parsons was a man in the church. And a wall, these others was working over here, and they pushed a wall over and it come down and hit Delmer below his knee, in his calf, broke his leg, bone stuck through it. They take him to the hospital, and because Jerry Wood had wrecked on a motorcycle, run through a board fence, and a board hit his leg, exact same place, had the exact same kind of a break, the bone sticking out. Both of them was in a room put together in traction to pull that back to where they could line them bones up. Jerry wasn't a Christian. Delmer started talking to him. Delmer said, I knew he couldn't leave. He was in traction just like me. And Delmer started talking to him. Well, they got out. Delmer found out where Jerry lived. They got out. About every 2 or 3 days, Delmer would tell his wife, his own cast and crutches, he said, take me over to Jerry's. He'd go over there and talk to Jerry and invite him to church. Jerry finally said, I just come to church. He told this later, I just come to church to get Delmer off my back. But the message got a hold of Jerry, and he went to the altar and got saved and become a preacher. Delmer said, if I knew I could gain one more like that, I'd be willing for God to break the other leg. You and I today, God can take some tragedy in our life and turn it around to be a great blessing if we'll only be willing to be used. Do your part. Be a testimony for God no matter where you go. While we sing a verse of some song, if there's one here you feel need to pray tonight, will you come? It's your choice. You know, I don't know where we'll get to finish the revival. The Bible speaks about God cutting the last days short for the very elect's sake. You know, who knows? God may cut the revival short for the elect, or it could be my turn or your turn just to face death. We don't know whether we're even going to see the revival start Monday night. You could be one of them that's here in front of the pulpit sometime this week or in the funeral home for your funeral. None of us has any promise of tomorrow. So with what's in your mind and what's in your heart right now, are you ready to face God this very night if the death angel called your number? While we sing, will you come? Will you come? You might not like the way God deals with you at times. It might make you feel awful, uncomfortable. But if your heart's not right with God, it's far more important to get right than it is to stand before God lost. I don't care who you are. God sees you. He knows all there is to know about you. He knows the thoughts in your mind. He knows everything that you've done, everything that you've said, every place you've went, the opportunities you had to witness for Him and that you was ashamed to. God knows all that. So you don't have to be uncomfortable about praying and talking to Him because you're ashamed. He already knows. You know, if you come and go telling me things about it, I might not know nothing about it. And it might say, man, I didn't realize they was that bad. God knows how bad you are right now. So, you know, confess and you can find out, boy, He can make you a new creature all over again. While we come, pray.